listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Valentine's Day. What better way to observe Valentine's Day than to get at the roots, the root of the day. And joining me in studio today to help us look at the meaning of Valentine, St. Valentine, the Reverend William Whedon, chaplain of the LCMS International Center, director, coordinator, director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of Thy Strong Word here on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Whedon, how are you?
I'm doing well, but you know me well enough to know that there's nothing reverent about me. So I hate that title. It drives me crazy. Thank you, though. But the fact that you began by calling it Valentine's Day, I find interesting because I remember when I was a kid,
Saint Valentine's.
It was Saint Valentine's Day. I mean, and the saint was part of the name of the day. It wasn't just Valentine's Day. It was Saint Valentine's Day. And I mean, I assume though that they still did this when you were in school. You're not that much younger than me. When you were in school, did they do those little heart thingies that you had to cut out and the little doily thing with the heart and to make for your mommy? And
well, you used to make Valentines.
Yeah,
we called them Valentines.
Yeah,
there we
called
notes
them. Yeah.
That you would. Mm-hmm. You would give to all of your fellow students, all your classmates, and
always in the stylized shape of a heart.
Most of the time,
yeah.
That was about the time that like the commercial ones were starting to become popular too.
Yeah, you had to buy a package for everybody in your class. I mean, so you give something one to everybody in the class or something like that. Yeah,
and you would also in elementary school also make a box in which to receive Valentine's.
Oh, your Valentine's Day box. I'd forgotten about that. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, because you're going to collect them from your classmates. And many times, if your experience was like mine, they came with a very small piece of candy attached.
Yes, yes. Yeah, lots of candy. Now, in my family, there were lots of traditions with candy around. Mom and Dad would always give us, you know, Valentine's Day candy. Grandmas and grandpas, yeah, lots of candy around.
So what was the normal kind of candy?
I think there was quite a bit of candy around Valentine's Day, aside from like heart-shaped suckers or chocolates,
yeah,
or maybe chocolate-covered strawberries, Red Hots, cinnamon Red Hots.
Something red.
Red, yes. Now, I also remember there always being discussions about, is it Valentine's or Valentine's? As children, as little
funny
kids on the playground, it's Valentine or Valentine.
Yes. That's a hoot.
Yes.
That's a hoot.
Now you have a fine book to help us out with this too.
The history of
Saint Valentine.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me at least be able to plug the book on your show too. It's a book called Celebrating the Saints. And what it does is, and I have to brag on the book, its cover won an award last year because it was so amazingly artsy. The designer who did this was just really amazing. They took the names from every one of the feast festivals or commemorations of Lutheran Service Book, and they put them all on the front cover of the book, and then through that, imposed the face of Christ. And the whole point being, the value of a saint in the Church of God is that through them you glimpse something of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and his love. And that's going to certainly be the case with the saint that we look at today. But each of the festivals is covered across the course of the year and generally in the calendar order, except for when you have the season of Easter that, you know, doesn't stay put, moves around. So there's a section on that at the tail end of the book. But each day it will tell you who we're commemorating and it will tell you what hymn is appropriate for that commemoration. And the collects are all the collects that are found in the Treasury of Daily Prayer, the, you know, little prayer for the day, and then a devotion based on the guy. If it's a commemoration, there's no scripture attached to it. If it's a feast or a festival, of course, there is scripture attached and that's provided as well.
Okay, commemoration. What does commemoration mean? What does it mean to commemorate a saint?
Well, it's at the very heart. I'm going to actually read the devotion on him today, if that's okay on the show.
But absolutely.
I mean, at the very heart of commemoration is the word memory, to remember. And these are just some that the church remembers. These calendars of commemorations are diverse. And the one that actually appears in Lutheran Service Book, it's kind of small compared to the one that like Missouri Synod used to publish in their almanacs in the beginning of the 20th century or the end of the 19th century, where just about every day commemorated one, two, three, sometimes four or more saints, people that were remembered for their lives, their how Christ's love and the hope that his gospel engenders shone through them.
That was my next question. What defines a saint, or at least a saint whom we commemorate?
Because, Rome has they have a process to get a saint on the calendar, right? You know, they just recently added John Paul II and Mother Teresa. You've heard the expression of the devil's advocate, right? You know, the guy who basically is charged with finding out if there's anything scandalous about this person that really would block them from being on the calendar of the church. The Lutherans have nothing like that. We're much more in that regard like the Orthodox, who simply recognize people whose lives were extraordinary witnesses to Christ in a place and time, and they were remembered. Literally, they were remembered by the people of that place and time, and they would just mention them. You know, sometimes it's sort of obscure how they... One of the most obscure ones that I find fascinating is St. Elizabeth of Thuringia. I mean, there's a woman... I mean, how many people have heard of the St. Elizabeth's Hospital, right? I mean, they're all over the world. They're named for this woman because she married at a very young age. She actually went and lived at the place where Luther translated the New Testament, the Wartburg, a century and a half or so before him. And as she's there, she just takes quite literally Christ's words about what you do for taking care of people who are sick and poor and needy. And I mean, one night she gives up her bed to a leper. It's like, this is stuff that people remember, and they remembered St. Elizabeth. She died at a very young age from a very the austerity of her life. And she also died of a broken heart because her husband, she loved very much, died on a trip, and she didn't even get to say goodbye to him. It was very, very hard for her life. I mean, she was in her early 20s, but this young woman is commemorated all around the world by these hospitals. So people do have these memories that go forward. One of them is Saint Valentine, who was a person that is remembered in the city of Rome. That was the locus of his memory.
And I want to get to Saint Valentine in just a moment. A little bit more about the saints. What do the scriptures teach regarding saints? What do they not teach regarding the saints?
Yeah, this is a place that Christians have had some, pretty historic disagreements on. Scriptures do teach that we are to remember the saints. If you think about Romans 13, remember those who spoke the word of God. You consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. There's the scriptural teaching about the commemoration of saints in a nutshell. You remember them and you imitate their faith. So that's there. What's not in the equation is that we call upon them in prayer, or that we some way try to interpose their good deeds, their merits. Rome has this very complex theory of the so-called treasury of merits, that Christ won a whole bunch of this, but then he wins more in the lives of his saints, and these can be applied by the church in a specially efficacious way to a certain person's need, usually for a suitable amount of money. And that so-called treasury of merits was very operative at the time of the Reformation, and Luther just, you're going to search the Bible a long time before you find anything like that there. Just not present. So without them being used as intercessors, or without their merits, what's the use of a saint? Well, the use of the saint was always recognized by Lutherans to be threefold. Number one, we do indeed imitate their faith. We're encouraged when we see the grace of God given them, particularly how they stumble and fell like we do, and they were sustained by the forgiveness of sins. Peter denying Christ three times and then being restored. I mean, that's an example of encouragement for us. And then we do indeed imitate how they lived their lives. What does it mean to live your life as one who is aimed at the age to come, not at this age? One who's literally living from the promises of God, from this, where this world is headed, whether this world knows it or not. The saints of God exemplify that. And, one mark that really does shine in the lives of the people that are commemorated is just that they had this remarkable share in the love of Christ. We confess a gift of the Holy Spirit that they loved those who persecuted them, that they prayed for them, that they were not filled with hatred and animosity, but that the love of Christ that really does transform a person from the inside out marked them, showed in them, and showed in the life of St. Valentine. So, I mean, this kind of love of Christ is the hallmark definition of when people tend to remember somebody that really touched them in their lives. It's usually in that regard.
What did Luther and perhaps other confessors at the time of the Reformation, what do they teach regarding the saints?
Well, Luther's story is so fascinating because remember he has this coming out of the Middle Ages. He has a very dark picture of Christ. Christ as this terrifying judge who demands of him a righteousness he knows he does not have. And so the saints then become the ones who sort of butter him up, especially Mary, you know, because if you want to get to Jesus, you go through his mommy. Because, I mean, why is he going to say no to his mommy, you know? That kind of an approach was huge. Luther's own family, Meining family, had the patron saint of Mary's mom, St. Anne. So when Luther was caught in that horrible storm as a young man, and he thought he was going to die, and the lightning flashing around him, and he just didn't think he was going to make it, he cried out, "St. Anne, save me, and I will immediately become a monk. You know, I will straightway join the monastics." Remember, he's going to be a lawyer, and his dad liked that he was going to make money.
I like how your accent comes
lawyer. So he didn't go that route, obviously, because he made this promise to St. Anne, and so off he goes, not with the best intention, then, if you will, to be a monk. And he from inside his experience, he did everything that the church could throw at him to try to calm his conscience, nothing worked until finally his father confessor, Johann Staupitz, sent him into the sacred scriptures, where the discovery finally just, you know, walloped him upside the head. Wait a minute. You mean this righteousness that he's talking about here in the gospel, that's revealed in the gospel, it's not a righteousness I have to come up with. It's a righteousness he's forking over to me. And then, of course, then he's pretty ticked at the church for having, you know, misled him all those years. He's like, oh, how could that be? He then went sort of critically through the sacred scriptures. What do they have to say about this? Now, he was one of my favorite quotes from him. I usually put it on any letter that I write. If I can find the bottom of my letter, here we go. "Who can harm or injure a man who has this confidence? Who knows that heaven and earth and all the angels and the saints will cry to God when the smallest suffering befalls him?" It's his homily from his homilies on John 17, where Jesus is dealing with, that they're one. Jesus. So if you're one in him, he's like, hey, you don't need to ask the saints to go bury him for you. They're already going to be doing it. you're part of the body of Jesus. If you're going through suffering, they're crying to Jesus for you right there, just like Christ at the right hand of God intercedes for you, just like the Holy Spirit inside of you is interceding. So they intercede. I mean, he had no problem with that. And he noted that we did have language in like Zechariah about the angels praying for the people of God in their troubles. So, he had that was a lively sense he had of the body of Christ. But he was very keenly aware of how he had falsified Jesus by making the saints be the ones that would be soft. You know, you could go to them because Jesus was hard and you didn't know if you're going to get what you needed out of it. He was like, wow, I was blaspheming my Lord. He said, if anyone is burdened, heavy laden, let them come to me. I will give them rest. But I made him into this, you know, stern, terrifying judge. This is not the way he's pictured for us in the sacred scripture. So this was a huge aha for Luther, and he never wanted the saints ever again to become middlemen for us with a picture of God being distant, cold, and against us.
So the saints are to be commemorated, to be remembered.
Yeah, and then we can learn from them. And simply love remembers, right? You think about the people, I don't know, the older I get, I think about the people I've known and loved. And the people that my mom and dad knew and loved, some of whom I never got to know, but I know their stories because my mom and dad told me them. And even though I never got to know them in the flesh, I still love them. I love my mom. My mom's Aunt Annie, because she wouldn't allow anybody to gossip in her presence. You came in her presence, you started running down your neighbor. She would just literally take the tea away from you and escort you to the door and say, "You can come back when you learned how to train your tongue." I love this woman. It's amazing. I imagine you only have to do it one time. You know, a word would get out. You don't go gossiping in Annie Mastin's kitchen. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I never met her, but I came to love her through the stories that were told about her. And so it is with the saints that the church commemorates. The stories persist. And from the stories, we come to know and learn to love them a bit.
Well, let's take a look at one of those.
All right.
Saint Valentine.
I'd like to begin with the actual hymn that was assigned for this day from LSB 706. I'm kind of a favorite of mine, too, because I went to Concordia Bronxville, and Dr. Ralph Schultz was the president when I was there, and he wrote this hymn, and his wife, Dorothy, wrote the tune. Love in Christ is strong and living, binding faithful hearts in one. Love in Christ is true and giving. May his will in us be done. Love is patient and forbearing, clothed in Christ's humility, gentle, selfless, kind, and caring, reaching out in charity. Love in Christ abides forever, fainting not when ills attend. Love, forgiving and forgiven, shall endure until life's end. So on the 14th of February, on this day, the church remembers the holy martyr, Saint Valentine. The story of the man commemorated this day is in large part unknown. Some centuries after Valentine's death, Pope Gelasius would write that Valentine is among those, quote, whose names are justly reverenced among men, but whose acts are known only to God. What is known is that Valentine ended his life confessing Christ to the last, dying a martyr's death in Rome under Emperor Claudius II around AD 270. Although we cannot know with any kind of certainty, later tradition has suggested that he was both a doctor and a priest. He was thus a man marked by his kindness and tender care of others in body and soul. In this, he mirrored our Lord Jesus Christ, who healed the ailments of the body and yet more wondrously brought peace to the soul with his words of promise and hope. The very day that Valentine was to face his martyrdom, he is said to have brought consolation to the daughter of his jailer by writing to her a small note of encouragement. The young girl had reportedly come to love this godly man and was grieved at the thought of his death. But Valentine knew that death was a defeated enemy because of Christ's death and resurrection. So he comforted the young lady. Hence, the custom of St. Valentine Day's notes arose, which has spread far and wide. From the relative obscurity of his life, we may learn a valuable lesson. God remembers what people forget. Baptized into Christ, marked with the Holy Cross as the Lord's own, fed with the body and blood of the Savior, Valentine lived and served, loved and died, a witness to the invincible love of God in Christ Jesus. God remembers his saints across the ages, even the multitude of his own, who never end up with a commemoration in the church's calendar other than All Saints' Day. Not one is forgotten. This will be apparent on the last day, when Christ will call the dead to life and remember the deeds of all, crowning his grace in the lives of his own. Among the saints gathered before him that day will be faithful Valentine, whose trust in Christ's promises was not in vain. For your holy martyr, Saint Valentine, all glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you kindled the flame of your love in the heart of your holy martyr, Valentine. Grant to us, your humble servants, a like faith and the power of love, that we who rejoice in Christ's triumph may embody his love in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to think about? I mean, from so long ago and reaching out across all these ages, that the church around the world continues to remember and to celebrate and to thank God for a life that seems kind of obscure.
Now, I would gather our traditions are our cultural traditions that started with St. Valentine have grown to be quite different than
it's kind of like Christmas, isn't it?
Christmas, Easter.
Yeah. What is it that they can't try? I mean, everything, the world is too much with us. Everything they, you know, the attempt is made to take what is just free gift of God and transform it into a merchandise. Isn't it what, in the chapel service that we had this day, Pastor Randall Golter preached on John 2, and this moment of Jesus in the temple where he makes the whip and turns the tables and drives the money changers out and, you know, don't make my Father's house a place of merchandise, you know. Anytime that we've been tempted to do that, I think the Lord, he has his various whips ready. Valentine's Day for us as Christians needs to come back to what it originally was, and not a time for Hallmark to make a killing, although I think Facebook has really taken a chunk out of them. but a time for us to actually say to the people that are in our lives that we love them. How many times you read these horrible stories of, I didn't get to say before they died. I wish I'd have, I didn't know that this was going to be the last time I would see them. You know, I have those stories in my life. I'm sure you have them in yours. St. Valentine's Day is such a great day for us to stop as Christians and say, who do I need to say I love you to today? And to say, and I thank God for you. And I am so glad that your sins are gone and mine, and that in Jesus, we can have a life that death can't take away. I need to be able to say this to somebody today. That's mm-hmm. to me to celebrate St. Valentine's Day.
So that's really how that note.
Yeah, it's like
tradition
worry,
started.
Kid.
Was yeah. was writing a note of encouragement.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. You know, I know it looks like they're gonna kill me.
It's not all about romantic.
No,
love.
No, not Cupid with his little arrows. far, far more important than that. Real human love and connection, not just, if we will, this is the day to celebrate agape, not eros. The Greek word for the self-giving love that is in Christ, that was in St. Valentine, not erotic love that's, you know, more animal in its attraction than actually being a reflection of the great love of God in Jesus.
Now, I suppose if you're writing a note of encouragement in Christ Jesus, it's okay to attach something, some little treat with it,
oh,
too.
Yeah. I mean, just don't make sure it doesn't have too much sugar.
That's the whole point. It's a sweet note with a sweet treat with it, right?
Put the sweetness in the words.
So how might we remember St. Valentine today with just under a minute left?
Well, I would hope that we would take time to think about the people God has blessed us with in our lives and maybe actually write them a little note, letting them know why you love them and how you thank God for them, and hopefully confessing in that note your love for the Lord Jesus too, so that it can be both a witnessing tool and a strengthening tool for those who are already Christians, and that it could be a way of honoring the tradition of St. Valentine's Day in its true essence, not in the Hallmark way.
I'm good with all of that except for one part. actually using a pen and paper. That's the hard part.
It is so hard. I've forgotten how to do it too. Yep.
I've almost forgotten how to write. I type everything so that it's actually legible.
Yeah.
The name of the book again, Celebrating the Saints,
the feasts, festivals, and commemorations of Lutheran service book.
And by the Reverend William Whedon. You can get it at Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. And you can hear Pastor Whedon weekdays here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Not too long from now.
We're having a lot of fun on with the word there. Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you, Pastor Whedon. Thanks for sharing your book and teaching me quite a bit about St. Valentine.
Hey, thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.